The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to Buckmaster Midweek Edition, December 18th, 2019. Hard to believe, Christmas, Tom, is 1 week from today.
That is, well, yes, it is hard to
always
believe.
Always jumps up.
Although
on us,
I have been anticipating it for about a month.
There you go. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, listening to Tucson's 1030, the voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website. It's buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. You can give us a call, and we hope you do, on the live line at 790-2040. All of our podcasts available for you 24/7. It's on your schedule. You listen at the time that is most convenient for you. We have accumulated over the past, coming up on 9 full years in January, quite an archive of Buckmaster Show programs. Dr. Victoria Mazes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine. She's the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and she is the author of Be Fruitful, the Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes with us now on the live line. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Getting all ready for the holidays?
I am. It's a very busy week here at the Center for Integrative Medicine, and then Friday at 5, the university essentially closes and we get a break.
There you go. Well, that will be very welcome. You know, tens of millions of us will make resolutions in hopes of breaking bad habits like smoking, maybe eating too much. But the vast majority, Dr. Mazes, will fail because breaking habits is awfully hard to do, isn't it?
It is hard to do. And, you know, it's interesting that our approach used to be to basically tell people, you know, have more willpower, have more self-control. And it turns out that that's not very good advice.
Why is it so difficult? Well, are we hardwired for certain things and kind of hard to break that?
Yeah. You know, we have this idea that people should just have self-control, but it turns out that the part of the brain that is responsible for our self-control, which is called the prefrontal cortex, right in the front of the brain, is the first to kind of go offline when you get stressed. And stress then often triggers that behavior, like smoking or like eating something that maybe it's not the healthiest thing for you to eat. And that brain, the prefrontal cortex, is not working to say, no, no, you're not going to do that right now. So the good news is that neuroscientists have been trying to figure out better ways.
What is reward-based learning, Dr. Mazes?
Well, reward-based learning is essentially the idea that how rewarding something is, the behavior is, whether it's you know, smoking or using a drug or gambling or whatever it is what drives whether we are going to do that again. And some of these things are actually quite rewarding. And so rather than tackling it by saying, have more self-control, have more self-control. Neuroscientists are suggesting that we get curious, that we be a little like that TV star, you know, who used to scratch his head and go, you know, what is that about? In doing that, we can become more aware of what it is that's reinforcing the reward. So, for example, I have sometimes worked with people who are trying to quit smoking, and they say, well, you know, it's the one time a day I get a break. So if the reward is that's the only break you get, wow, couldn't we put some other kinds of breaks in place that are healthier?
Well, you know, and for decades, the theory has been, and we've been told, just stop. If you need to lose weight, simple. Quit eating junk food. You're trying to quit smoking? Well, stop cold turkey or use a nicotine replacement. It sounds so simple.
Yeah, it's so sad. It does sound simple, but we know also from years of research that it doesn't necessarily work very well. So in a mindfulness approach, what we would do is, you know, when someone is wanting to quit smoking, we might say, okay, while you're smoking, really pay attention. And they often look at you like you're crazy because everybody's been saying, stop doing that, stop doing that. But instead, if you're curious, if you have that Columbo kind of, what is it about it, you become aware of what the reward is. And, you know, the reward can be different for different people. It could be that it makes you feel like a rebel when you smoke, since everyone says don't do it. There was a person in one of these programs who said, you know, when they started smoking, they were a teenager, so it made them feel cool. Of course, now, you know, they're in their 40s. They're not a teenager anymore. And when they actually pay attention, they go, oh, you know, it doesn't make me feel cool, you know. And actually, as I pay attention, my experience is I don't really like the taste of the cigarette that much. And that suddenly makes that behavior less rewarding. So that experience of being mindful, of really paying attention to, you know, what is it that I am getting from this? And then seeing if there is a way to break that loop with a different behavior.
So it sounds like the first step to breaking a habit, really no matter what it is trying to figure out, Dr. Mazes, what your particular triggers are. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly right. What is it that is pushing you to or triggering you to engage in that activity?
So once you know your triggers, what's next?
Well, so then you get to continue to pay attention. So how do you feel, you know, when you smoke that cigarette, when you eat junk food, when you gamble? You know, how do you feel 15 minutes later? When you do it, you know, how does your body feel? How does your mind feel? How rewarding is it actually? And that can either be written down or you could just, you know, really seek to remember it. And this new awareness essentially gets your brain to update. Well, maybe it's not quite so rewarding to smoke, or maybe it's not so great to gamble or to eat junk food. And you start to have a different habit loop in your brain.
And then I think you need to replace kind of this reward with curiosity. How would that work, the reward value of curiosity?
Well, instead of immediately giving in to the craving, whatever it is, or the habit, acting on that habit, whatever it is, if you can put a pause there and say, like, what is this? Like, okay, you know, I want to go and eat, you know, that chocolate bar. Well, maybe I'm avoiding doing that hard task that I have to do at my job, or cleaning my kitchen, or, you know, taking, doing an errand that I don't feel like doing. So you become a little bit more aware. The second thing is that as you put a pause and you examine and investigate, you also start to notice that cravings pass, that this moment where you feel like you just have to smoke the cigarette or eat the chocolate or whatever else it may be, that the cravings come and go, even if we don't act on them. In other words, I'm like, oh, I just have to have that chocolate. And then if I do put a pause, you can tell I like chocolate, right?
Oh, yes.
If I do put a pause, then actually that feeling passes. And you know, I can actually just sit with it and I don't have to indulge.
What is it about, by the way, chocolate that makes us, I don't know, want so much of it? Is there some chemical in it that...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It has to increase endorphins.
There you go. All right. So, and of course, it can work also. You've got a big project at work that you need to take care of. But what do? You may look at, well, I'll just look, take a quick look at Facebook. And before you know it, you've spent an hour on Facebook when you should be working on the project.
Well, exactly. So then, you know, in that curiosity after, and you go, wow, you know, I just lost an hour.
Yep.
I mean, maybe I wanted a little break, but I really didn't intend to spend an hour. So suddenly the reward of going on Facebook is less.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes will stick around for segment number two, but right now I want to tell people about what they're doing up at my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, where they're getting ready for Christmas. Christmas 1 week from today. You still have time to make that order. They've got pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan pies. Great choice there. Of course, they're the home of the Danish Kringle. You can order your Kringle coming in traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan. I think I'll take the traditional custard. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now. And when you go by, put in your order for your pie, for the Kringle, for Christmas morning. Don't forget to order all of your dinner rolls for your Christmas table. Buckmastershow.com. There is a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Check it out. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. And of course, they serve a hot breakfast each day. We'll be back with Dr. Victoria Mazes. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. 1 week before Christmas, Dr. Victoria Mazes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. We're just so honored to have people like Dr. Mazes. We have now 24 regular contributors to this program, people who are so renowned in their field and experts. We're just so honored again to have them and thankful for them. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We spent the first portion of the program talking about perhaps some strategies for breaking habits. One habit that's very difficult to break, Dr. Mays, is this time of year. It seems like everywhere you look at work, there are goodies. There are holiday goodies everywhere. And if you are kind of into a little bit of a sugar thing, it is difficult to walk by without getting involved.
I know. That's one of the things that you describe struggling with every single year. So
I do.
I'm happy to say at my workplace, there's not the same temptation. We don't have the same goodie pile.
Well, you know, it is a habit that people do this time of year. There's a lot of what's been referred to as holiday blues or holiday depression. And Dr. Mazes, some people turn to eating as a way to kind of feel better, don't they?
Absolutely. Food is one of the ways we nourish ourselves, and it's actually one of the ways we show love to one another. So, you know, those cookies that somebody made specially for you, I mean, that is also a gesture of love.
It really is. And I want to talk a little bit about what people can do if they are feeling a little blue this holiday season, and perhaps some strategies that we could give our listeners, perhaps some simple things that we could do to kind of make ourselves bring a little sunshine into our lives.
Yes. So, you know, the holiday blues are really common. They're not as bad as depression, although it could feel a little like depression. Usually depression's more severe and lasts longer. So depression, just because if anyone's listening and feels depressed and needs help, I encourage them to reach out for help. But depression is a more serious state where you have a depressed mood for at least 2 weeks. You don't get pleasure from any of your usual pleasurable activities. You may lose weight or sometimes gain weight. You may not be able to sleep, have no energy, feel fatigued and worthless, and it's pretty awful. Sometimes people feel suicidal, and if you're feeling any of these things, please get help. With the holiday blues, it's usually less intense, less severe, and it's usually shorter. But a lot of people do feel exhausted by all of the expectations of the holidays. They may not have as much pleasure as they would expect. The holidays are actually quite stressful for many people. For many people, it causes a lot of financial stress because of overextending to buy gifts. People have this expectation they're going to have this wonderful time with their family, but not everyone gets along with their family. Not everyone's families are accessible. You know, they may live far away. And so there's lots of reasons that people sometimes feel pretty blue this time of year.
What would you suggest for somebody that's really kind of feeling down over the holidays? Maybe get outside, take a walk on some
that's
of these beautiful
great,
days that we've had.
Great yeah. recommendation, Bill. I mean, we live in Arizona, so we're lucky that this is some of the most beautiful time of year to be outdoors. And there's studies that show just 1 hour of physical activity a week helps prevent depression. That was a study of almost 34,000 people over an 11-year period, so a big study. And of course, more than that is better, but get outdoors and take a walk. That's a wonderful suggestion. Another one is try to keep company. This is in some ways a time that it's a little easier to keep company. Often we're invited to gatherings, but some people isolate themselves, and that can be a risk. Be careful how much alcohol you drink. Alcohol is a depressant, and it doesn't mean, you know, that you have to completely avoid it, but being mindful of how much. And, you know, in general, we suggest that people limit to 1 to 2 alcoholic beverages for the, safest amount of consumption. Other things, this is a wonderful time to volunteer. So if your family's not around, if you aren't thrilled perhaps in spending a lot of time volunteering at one of the different service organizations, we know there's something called the Helper's High. When you go and spend time helping others, often you have a much better time yourself. So in addition to helping another, your sense of joy and gratitude is heightened. And then I would say just paying attention to your expectations. Sometimes if we could set slightly lower expectations, we may not be disappointed. We may not get as blue.
You know, you mentioned something about giving. I think giving is a natural high, whether you give of your time or perhaps when you give a gift, and it doesn't have to be a big, expensive gift. You don't have to go into debt for it. But I just think the whole process, Dr. Mays, is of giving is important, and maybe it releases those endorphins we were talking about.
There is a well-studied phenomenon called the helper's high. And indeed, when we give, and as you said, it doesn't have to be money. It could be of your time. It does increase all sorts of levels of hormones that are associated with greater happiness and greater well-being.
You know, I want to carve out a few minutes here. It is the end of the year. We'll look forward to your sessions with us in 2020. But this has been a very important year for the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, beginning with the name itself, the Andrew Weil Center. Kind of go over a few of the highlights, if you would, Dr. Mays, is a very important, a banner year, a watershed year for you at the U of A.
Yes. So speaking of giving, Dr. Andrew Weil made an incredibly generous gift. He pledged $15 million. $15 million. Most of us can't do that.
Whoa.
On top of the $5 million that he has already gifted to the University of Arizona. And because of this giving and all of his work, the university and the Arizona Board of Regents have now renamed our center the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. So it's truly a legacy to all of his work, which is so wonderful.
Go ahead. I know there's plans actually for a building as well.
Yes. Yeah. So we have been working with architects, and we are going to have really quite a beautiful building that'll be at the corner of Cherry and Vine. So it'll be right near the rest of the medical center. And that's been a really exciting and wonderful experience to design. It's actually going to be three buildings that all integrate with one another. We're thinking about calling them body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a beautiful campus that the center will really be able to do its work in this wonderful new environment. And of course, we will be paying attention to the environment, making sure that it's a healing space, that it has views of the mountains, that it has good conditions like the light and the airflow and the temperature and the humidity, all of those things, windows that open so we could get the fresh air. And then it'll have space for us to do things we've never been able to do before. So a large classroom kind of area that can be used to open to the public with a teaching kitchen and a meditation space, a yoga room. I mean, we're very excited.
And so many now integrative medicine young doctors are out in our, not only our community, but really all over the world, who have been trained at the University of Arizona. And I think this is like sending the message that integrative medicine is no longer an outlier. It really is mainstream, Dr. Mazes.
That is exactly right and beautifully put, and we're so proud of our graduates, many of whom do practice here in the Tucson area, and it's been incredibly rewarding to see people come and take the training, the one-year fellowship that we do for people who are finished with residency. We have a 200-hour curriculum that gets embedded into our family medicine, internal medicine, psychiatry, and pediatric residencies. We're just beginning a new program with specialty residencies. So we have lots of folks and lots of training opportunities. We also train nurses and registered dietitians and acupuncturists and physical therapists. And now we have some wonderful programs for the public. So it's been quite a wonderful year.
Dr. Mazes, I want to wish you all the best, you and your team at the University of Arizona. I hope you have a wonderful, healthy holiday season, and we'll look forward to your conversations in 2020. Thank you for all you do.
And thank you, Bill, for all you do for this community.
Thank you very much. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on The Buckmaster Show as we are now at the halfway point of our midweek edition. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, CBS Network News, now. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're 1 week before Christmas. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and there's still plenty of time, like today, to get over to Green Things to start the holiday decorating, where they still have a very good selection of that original base of 25,000 poinsettias that they grow over there at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Every imaginable color. They've got a special going on, a really big one, and you'd be shocked how reasonable it is. So check it out. Green Things by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Today is the launch of the Tucson History Podcast here at kvoi.com. Overseeing that project, Greg Gerringer. Mr. Gerringer is the production director for KVOI and for 106.3 The Groove. Greg has selected for the opening report a tragic Tucson plane crash that happened 52 years ago today. Greg, good to see you.
Well, Bill, thanks for having me on to promote this. This first podcast has been something I've been fascinated with since the first time I heard about it. I'm not a native Tucsonan, but maybe about 3 years ago, I just noticed that everybody over a certain age really was fascinated by this story. People that had lived here that were even 7, 8 years old in 1967, they all would once a week post this thing on social media.
What happened? There was an Air Force jet that crashed into a supermarket?
I'll give you the briefest thing I can. Just after takeoff, a sortie of three F-4Ds was headed for Nellis Air Force Base. Just after takeoff, within maybe 90 seconds, one of them lost all power. Mm-hmm. Hydraulic failure was the Air Force answer. And so the pilots had to eject, and they were trying to take the plane towards Randolph Park Golf Course. And basically, once they ejected, the plane just went upside down, crashed into the back of the supermarket. Mm. And amazingly, only three people in the supermarket died. It could have been a lot more. There were about 30 people in the store at the time. It was 5:44 p.m. And of course, it was today, 1 week before Christmas in 1967.
And, you know, this is not to be confused with another plane crash that happened in 1978 near the University of Arizona. And I'm sure that's a subject probably that will come up on a future podcast.
It will, but I've noticed that that one doesn't seem to compel people quite as much as this one. Okay. Maybe because it was right before Christmas time. I don't know. You know, the one that happened on Cherry. I know all about that one. But this one just seems to stick with people more.
Let's take a listen to a couple of minutes from the launch, the premiere of our Tucson History podcast at KVOI.com.
December 18th, 1967. It was a chilly Monday in Tucson, continuing a trend that began the week before. Many parts of Arizona experienced record snowfalls. Flagstaff got 83 inches by the time it all ended. Snow even fell in some parts of Greater Tucson. On Monday, the high would crest at 48 degrees. Christmas was just a week away, and the excitement of the holiday season was in the air. Lots of people looked forward to visiting Winter Haven that evening. Friday would be the winter solstice, and the sun was disappearing behind the mountains west of the city at 5:23 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Those driving east on Broadway past Elkhorn Mall, crowded with holiday shoppers, might have been listening to Color 99 KTKT.
New Kenny's Shoe Stores in Tucson, 5102 East 22nd, and the East Broadway Shopping Center.
KTKT, Tucson!
8,000 miles away in Vietnam, U.S. forces were embroiled in the tense Battle of Tam Quan, supporting the nearly half million U.S. troops that were in country by that time was the mighty McDonnell Douglas F-4D.
a fighter bomber built to destroy ground targets. 52 years ago, groups of F-4s spent time between Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas and Davis-Monthan, performing training missions in preparation for battle in Southeast Asia.
Wind 1103, clear for takeoff.
Around 5:40 p.m., a sortie of three F-4Ds took off in a northwesterly direction, headed for Nellis. Each carrying a full load of 17,000 pounds of JP-4 aviation fuel. 2 minutes after takeoff, Flight Lieutenant Jack R. Hamilton, an instruction pilot from the Royal Canadian Air Force, and U.S. Captain Gary L. Hughes lost all power in their aircraft.
That, and both the pilots survived.
Both the pilots survived. The U.S. captain actually came down within the confines of the base because the base extended further out to the west and
right.
to the north at that time.
Right.
We talk about that. The guest on the show is a friend of the station. His name is John Holden, and he worked with the city as a communications specialist for years, doing the shortwave radios and working with the dispatchers. So he's just like a bank of knowledge.
Sure.
And I think he was, you know, a teenager at the time that this occurred, and his family's home was just a couple of miles to the east.
Greg Gehringer is with us. Greg is instrumental in the launch of our Tucson History Project, our podcast. It is a project. It's now up at KVOI.com. As a result of the accident, Greg, were there any changes made in flight patterns?
We do get into that. John talks about the fact that they did start directing more flights towards Benson, but that was always sort of conditional on the way the winds were moving and the speed of those winds. So they still had to direct some flights to the northwest. The issue that occurred was more and more of those flights were taking off towards Benson, and then over the years, all that infill occurred like Rita Ranch. So the city actually passed some ordinances that prevented people from building huge shopping centers or big box stores in that flight path to the southeast.
It's just a miracle that only three people died in that crash.
Well, one additional person, an 18-year-old girl, did die in an adjacent home.
One
of the fuel tanks struck that home. The family got out. Sherry Tilton was her name. She did not. She died in her bedroom. So
52 years ago. Let's talk about what other projects you've got in the works, Greg Gehringer.
Next month, I think everybody that lives in Tucson and drives here will relate to it. It's called Where Are Our Freeways? It's sort of a history of all the failed bond issues.
Butterfield Parkway, all
the Butterfield Parkway, that's right. The Pantano Parkway, the Rito. So we're going to get into that and talk about, is there any hope for the future? There are some things that are being talked about, but things have been talked about for years in relation to the freeways.
What did you, going into the project, how did you kind of see this? Did you want to keep it tight enough that people don't have to devote a lot of time to hear the project?
That's right. We want to keep them under 30 minutes because that's, you know, something you can download and possibly pop in on your way to the mall or on your way to work or, you know, if you're just tooling around the house. I think 30 minutes is a little easier to digest. And there's some great stories to tell. There are so many things over the years, even though we don't live in a huge city, there's so many tales that this city holds. And we'll be doing one each month, posting it in the middle of the month. And of course, if you listen to KVOI and 1030 The Voice, you'll hear those promos and know that a new one's available for download.
And you love history.
Absolutely, Bill. You and I have had many conversations. I'm 52, but you know, I love the history of things that came before me. And when I moved to a city, I really want to know the backstory of that city. And I'm talking about going all the way back to 1775. So many of our stories could conceivably go that far back. So very much I do love history. And so this is a labor of love, and I'm excited to have a platform to offer it to people.
And we're excited for you, and we look forward to the upcoming KVOI Tucson History Podcast. Greg Gehringer, thank you very much. Greg, the production manager for KVOI and 106.3 The Groove, he's been instrumental in getting this project launched. He's done a terrific job. I would strongly urge folks to check it out, the premiere launching today, and as we talked about, the 52nd anniversary of that tragic plane crash, an Air Force jet into a Tucson supermarket. Greg, thank you very much. Hope you have a great holiday season.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, it's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village, Studios. Coming up next, I love to give books, and especially appropriate holiday giving. Arlie Sheehan joins us. She'll have a couple of interesting suggestions for us. If you're looking for a book lover to give a great gift to, Arlie may have a good idea or two for you. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, just a week out now before Christmas. The Buckmaster Show, one of our great sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A lot of people have time off over the holidays, and maybe you want to take a road trip. Strongly suggest the three-hour drive or so over. Just head east to that beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Good starting places, visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great ideas on things to do, like visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Really one of the first national monuments in the United States. Certainly worth a trip to Silver City just to see that. There are great places to stay as well in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Giving a book to a friend or a loved one is always a nice gesture, especially so during the holidays. I've asked literature professor Arlie Sheehan, she's head of the University of Arizona English Department, to give us a few holiday book giving ideas. Arlie is an award-winning writer. She's the author of four short story collections, including Demagogues on Speedway, published by the University of Arizona Press. Her most recent book, Once Into the Night, from the University of Alabama Press. She's the author of two novels. Aurelie, good to see you.
Hey, nice to be here.
You know, I got books as kids, and I loved that. It was always nice, of course, if there was a bicycle under the tree, but I always liked to get a book, and I think a lot of my friends would still appreciate one, too.
You know, a book is one of the most personal gifts you can give someone, I think. It really, really shows a lot about the friendship that you have or the relationship that you have, and it takes a little bit more time and effort to buy the right book for people. In fact, sometimes it can go very wrong.
Yeah, it could go wrong, but say there's someone that you know loves World War II history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's fun to kind of browse, go to a bookstore, look in the history section, and maybe there's something that's kind of like a little bit offbeat, maybe that they might not know about. That might be a good gift.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it tells you, it is the kind of gift that it's something about that person, mm-hmm. but it's also something about yourself. And so you need to kind of have that little mix in mind when you're giving.
Give us a few suggestions of what you've come up with.
Well, I thought it was, there's so much fun stuff on TV lately, and that's not, I shouldn't be saying that, right, on a segment
books.
But there's so many good shows, and one of the most recent shows that I enjoyed was the one on Chernobyl. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
No, I didn't. I heard it was a great documentary.
It was a miniseries, yes, and it was quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that. But before or at the same time, there's a new book called Midnight in Chernobyl by Adam Higginbotham.
Mm-hmm.
That has come out this year, and it is just getting absolutely rave reviews. I haven't read it yet myself, but after watching that amazing TV show about the terrible disaster in 1986, I wanted to learn more about it, and so I plan on, you know, gifting myself this book if I don't happen to find one under the tree. Really think it would be great to just get into this, and the reviews it's getting are like, it's just almost like a thriller.
Kind of a deep dive into
the aftermath.
and how that area mm-hmm. has recovered in many ways.
So Midnight in Chernobyl by Adam Higginbotham.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one would be really great. And just, you know, when I'm giving a shout out to other media, mm-hmm. I did want to mention that I think that this would be a really cool Christmas to give the book Little Women to somebody on your list, maybe a young woman who might be interested in Greta Gerwig's new movie coming out on Little Women, which, you know, Greta Gerwig is just an amazing director, and Little Women's very promising. And that book has a special iconic Christmas scene in it, and it's all about family. So I think it would be a really neat Christmas to get that classic.
Were you given that classic as a child?
I don't remember receiving it as a gift, but I remember reading it and really loving it. So mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that movie and probably reread the book. Mm-hmm. Rereading is another great activity for some of us.
What age group would you suggest for Little Women?
You know, it could go from age 8 to 30.
Okay.
Or beyond. So, you know, people do like, as I'm saying, rereading and getting back to some of these classics from their childhood.
Okay, good
suggestion. I remember
I loved
Beth. She was one of the characters in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit amusing because she wasn't the writer or anything like that. There was another writer, Joe, and she was a bit brassy. But Beth was the one I enjoyed, and I had a little Beth doll that I played with and everything like that. So that's a really cool old book. There's another novel. It's actually a young adult novel, but it is it's absolutely perfect for adults as well. And it's by a Tucson resident,
uh-huh.
Matt Mendez. Matt was my student at the U of A.
Wow.
This is his second book. It's called Barely Missing Everything.
Huh.
So Matt Mendez, Barely Missing Everything. And this is just a beautiful, heartbreaking novel about two teenage boys and their friendship in El Paso. And so it's got kind of a regional and sort of borderlands focus, and it is just really great. So
again, the title?
It's Barely Missing Everything.
Barely Missing Everything by Matt Mendez,
yeah.
a former student of Arlie Sheehan. That's cool.
And I think that would be great for, you know, any teenager, but also, like I'm saying, it's one of those young adult novels that's also a crossover.
Okay.
So while you're at it, reading about the young folk, there's a great, funny, and also a bit tragic, but just so readable novel by an Irish writer called Sally Rooney. And that book is called Normal People. Yeah, of all funny titles.
Uh-huh.
So Normal People, Sally Rooney is a young writer, and she captures something about being a teenager and being in awkward love that is just, I just loved it. I could not put it down. So I would definitely recommend that book.
Normal People.
Normal People.
Very cool.
Sort of like you and me, or are we? I don't know.
I don't know. I can take another one.
Well, here's a sort of a thing. It's not a book. It's an idea.
Okay.
Which is Christmas and the holidays, when you're sort of, when you have a little time off work and you're with family, it's also a good time to get in touch with the short story. You know, it's something that you can read aloud, maybe even if you're so disposed.
That's a good idea. If you're at a gathering,
yeah.
Maybe some short stories, like some that you have written, could actually take less than a minute.
Absolutely. But there's a beautiful book, a beautiful story by Ron Carlson.
Okay.
And it's called The H Street Sledding Record. And it's about Christmas. It's a, you know, it's set on Christmas. It's about Christmas traditions. And back in previous years, there was a period when I read it every year and really enjoyed that because it's super heartwarming. But it's
H Street Sledding
Record.
And the reason I said some of your short stories could be read in a minute, that your most current book,
mm-hmm.
Once in the Night, I love some of those very, very short stories that you've got in there. That's what I was thinking about with that. Quickly running out of time. Do you have another one for us?
Well, just another short story, okay. Super easy to find, is The Gift of the Magi. Also just a classic by O. Henry, and also set at Christmas and really a neat thing to listen to or to read.
Arlie Sheehan, head of the U of A English department, who was born in Verdun, France. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
What was the, here I'm asking you a story like this and I've got 30 seconds. How in the world did that? Of course, that's the famous World War I battlefield.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, my father was in the army.
Okay.
Set and stationed there. That's how I began.
But when I was looking at your bio, that just really jumped out at me. That's just, that's such a iconic World War I battlefield battle that took place there. Anyway, Arlie, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great holiday.
Great to be here. You too, Bill.
Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show, wrapping it up on our Wednesday edition. Our thanks to Arlie Sheehan for coming in and giving us some great ideas for book giving. Thank you, Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the program. We'll be back with you 12:04 tomorrow during the noon hour here on the Buckmaster Show. And, of course, all of our programs are podcast. You can listen to them on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Have a great afternoon.